I like it that your book really nicely lays out this step-by-step approach to managing your innovation portfolio. It's all the way from setting up the initial targets to revising the entire innovation thesis. But that's all nice in theory. But what's your own experiences from working with and seeing companies do this? I mean, what are the biggest challenges to actually implementing this type of process in a complex organization? Where do you start, and
how do you go about this? Yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. And what's interesting about that is that, like, there's a whole lot of advice going out into the world right now about how large companies should act like startups, right? I say exactly the opposite. Large companies are not startups. Large companies became large companies because they found a successful product, successful business model. They've managed to scale that, and they're generating loads of revenue. The challenge for large companies is when they start to think of themselves as a monolithic institute with one business model, and they focus all their operational resources on just executing that one business model and defending it and protecting it. And if they ever come up with new ideas, they're merely extensions of currently successful products. There's nothing groundbreaking, right? What we try and encourage companies to do is to think of themselves as an innovation ecosystem, but also to think of their products as a portfolio of products. And what the portfolio of products allows them to do is they can organize their portfolio in terms of horizons towards the future. So they can have a group of products that they're executing on right now that are making money right now. They can have a group of products that are much more near term, you know, in the next 1 to 2 to 3 years that are coming online to start to plug in some of the holes that may happen as those older products start to mature. And then they can have some future plays that are, you know, 5 to 10 year plays that they're investing in. And the reason why large companies have to do this is simply because the world is changing so quickly right now that if you don't have a dynamic portfolio yourself, you might find yourself holding onto something that is actually expiring in terms of its value to the world, and you have nothing in the pipeline to actually respond. And so what we try and do is to try and, like, work with companies to try and assess their portfolio in terms of whether they have any future-facing products in that portfolio. And there's easy ways to measure that, right? We can look at the whole product portfolio. And at a very basic level, if you want to be really basic, just say, let's map out all our products and all our business models, and then let's rate each one in terms of to what extent it serves our current customers in our current markets. And if you lay that out, you know, current customers, current markets, or whether or not it's a new product or it's an old product, what you tend to find is that even the things that are classified as new products are still serving current customers and current markets. And so just by laying that out, a company can already see that 95% of their investments, sometimes even 99% of their investments, are going on to core products that are only helping them succeed in the current market environment, that if anything shifts or changes, then they'll struggle.
I mean, I totally agree with you on that, because many times when you read about this horizon 1, 2, 3, or like some people like to call it core, adjacent, and transformational innovation, is that they refer to it that 70% should be invested into horizon 1, 20% in 2, and 10% into horizon 3. But my own experience working with a few companies is that it's more like 90% into core, 9% into adjacent, and 1% or even less into Horizon 3 or transformational. What are your experiences from that working with companies and seeing how they find that balance in their portfolio?
So you're absolutely right. A lot of companies don't have a balanced portfolio, which is what we advise companies to have. But what's more interesting for me is that large companies stumble onto this situation. It's not something they explicitly did. It's not like they intended to have an unbalanced portfolio. They just stumbled onto having an unbalanced portfolio because the day-to-day challenge of running their business causes them to end up with an unbalanced portfolio. And so what we really try to say to companies is, why don't you make your innovation ambitions explicit? Why don't you actually set out explicit goals about how you want to balance your portfolio? It doesn't have to be 70-20-10. That's a magic number, right? It doesn't have to be 70-20-10. And also, that 70-20-10 metric, people need to understand what that really means. The 70-20-10 metric is about the investment, the amount of resources that are being invested in things. It's not a measure of the number of products or the number of customers, right? And so 70-20-10 is just like 70% of our resources should be invested in the core, 20% of our resources should be invested in adjacent, and 10% of our resources should be invested in this transformational new products for new customers, right? Now, it is quite distinctly possible that you could have very few products in the core, and you could have 20-30 products in transformational that you're playing with and testing, right? And so the balance of your product might actually be 70-20-10 in the opposite direction in terms of number of products. It's the level of investment that you're putting in those things, because for early stuff, you want to put in very minimal investment and double down only on those things that are actually showing traction. And so what we want to say to companies, just make your innovation ambition explicit. It doesn't matter if it's like 90-5-5. But at least we know exactly what we're aiming for, and then we can maintain and try and sustain that balance.
Yeah, and you have some kind of benchmark to begin looking at, and then you can see, can you improve from there? But what about, you say, you should make an explicit target for percentage of your resources invested into these different horizons. But based on what? Based on revenue, based on free cash flow? Because, I mean, you know, companies, they buy back their own shares, they pay out dividends, they keep money on the balance sheet as a war chest for M&A activities and so on and so forth. But how do you then, if you want to compare one company to another, because this is also something I haven't been able to figure out really, based on what resources? How do they define the pool of resources that they split?
Yeah, I mean that's really interesting in terms of like how they define the pools of resources they split. And I think it depends on the company and it depends on the market. Even the innovation ambition itself depends on the company and depends on the market. Some companies are really under pressure, and so they have to invest more. Mm. I think that whatever it is, whatever metric it is that companies use when they're allocating budgets every year, whatever framework they use for that, it is in that framework that they have to start thinking about how they balance those resources. Right. Right.
Which makes it more important, of course, then that they are benchmarking themselves rather than competition, because we don't really know how they allocate the resources or even define what these resources are.
Yeah, exactly.
Revenue or profits or what have you. We don't have those figures. So just because someone says we're doing 70% here doesn't really mean much. It's more important to set a target for yourself and then move from there, I guess.
Exactly.
Would you agree?
Exactly. I completely agree. And not only that, if you set a target for yourself, it doesn't mean that you have to reach that target by year one. Again, companies try and do things too quickly, and then they end up like, you know, throwing away money because they 70-20-10, we've now got 10% disposal, so what are we going to spend it on? Well, some innovators, and then they get some startup guys in, and they start spending money and kind of wasting money. You have to figure out a way to incrementally get to your ambition while learning the right ways to invest and manage that money.
Coming back to your book a little bit, of course, you talk about the innovation ecosystem consisting of a number of factors where innovation portfolio is one of these. And the more of these factors you have included or parts, the stronger the innovation ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm.
But would you say that every company needs an innovation portfolio? Is that a must?
When I say every company needs an innovation portfolio, I guess the question is like, well, what would you do innovation on?
Yeah.
If you didn't have an innovation portfolio.
That's
so
kind of the basis for all the different activities. If you're doing a corporate venture capital arm, if you're doing an accelerator program, even if you're doing a hackathon or what have you, somehow it needs to be correlated to an innovation thesis and an innovation portfolio of some sort. It's all together.
Yeah. So what we're saying really is that companies shouldn't be stumbling around in the dark trying to figure out exactly what they're just sort of picking up things and doing them at random. Mm. That everything should be strategically connected, right? A company must think of the direction it wants to go in, the markets it wants to play in, the trends that are going on in the world that it wants to get ahead of, the unknowns, you know, blockchain, artificial intelligence, all of these things that they want to figure out. Mm. And then they start to use their innovation portfolio to figure those things out. So they say,
But sometimes it seems like some managers or leadership, they just do whatever seems to be popular for the moment and what seems to be cool. And there's no real connection back to what is their business strategy and why are we doing this in the first place. So I don't know if you can talk about that a little bit.
Exactly. And so what we say is, you know, your innovation portfolio is an expression of your strategy.
Mm. Exactly.
The measure of whether or not your portfolio is successful is to what extent it's helping you deliver on your innovation strategy. If you don't have an innovation strategy, then the portfolio is a bucket. It's a mishmash of various projects that are not properly aligned. And so in the end, there's always some shift that happens. So if the CEO changes, then he might fire all the innovation people and scrap all their projects because he's got a new thing that he wants to try or she wants to try. And so there's just, you know, there's various kind of challenges that innovators face. And so the innovation ecosystem, like, it kind of encompasses all these things and joins them together to ensure that one is speaking to another. So not only are we aiming for 70-20-10 at random, we're aiming for 70-20-10 that is also connected to our innovation strategy and where we think the company needs to go, you know, in the future.